Right now, we're joined in the studio by James Williams, who is with the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP, which just got recognized as the state branch of the year, right?
That is correct, yeah. Aaron. And I'm really excited and thrilled for our branch. This certainly it was an exciting and well-earned award, and I first want to commend our president, Honor Richards, for the tremendous work and skill and focus that she has brought during her first year's presidency. Just a little plug for myself, that is one reason I pursued so hard that she considered the position, because I was aware of her skill set and her passion, and I was so happy when she agreed to do so. And we are benefiting. And when I say we, I don't just mean the Chapel Hill Carrboro branch of the NAACP. I mean Chapel Hill Carrboro. I mean Orange County, and I do indeed mean the state of North Carolina by the effort that she brings, and that we are also as a unit impassioned and following her lead, some of the things that we are embarking upon, the Chapel Hill Carrboro branch. And so I'm excited about the win. And you know, I don't know, I think there's something like 60 or 70 branches of the NAACP here in the state of North Carolina. And for this branch to win out over all of those branches, I think is something to be proud of.
Yeah, and really terrific work that the branch has been doing. Was that at the state convention?
The award. The award and plaque was presented at the final event, the Freedom Banquet, on Saturday night. I was there, as was Anna and her husband, during the presentation of the award, and it was a really good time.
Did you know in advance, or was it a surprise?
Well, it was. Well, I knew in advance of it actually happening,
okay,
but not in advance of attending the event.
Gotcha.
Yes, yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So the state convention was this past weekend, right? How was it?
That is good. Yeah. It was. I thought it was an excellent convention. Mm-hmm. I was there for the most of all three days. Some phenomenal keynote speakers, and of course, well, maybe not of course, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who truly is a civil rights icon, I think is the only way to describe him. From a youthful age, from the time he was really a high school student to his days at A&T and throughout his career, gave a wonderful speech. Senator Cory Booker, mm-hmm, who, if you've never heard him, if you have the opportunity, please take advantage of it. He was the speaker at the luncheon speaker on keynote speaker on Saturday, and I was fortunate enough to get a selfie that he took with him.
Nice.
of the two of us. And then on Saturday night at the Freedom Fund banquet, Roland Martin, who I had never, I mean, I'd heard him on TV and radio, but I had never heard him as a keynote speaker, and he also was excellent. But those are just the keynote speakers. There were a number of other sessions, mm-hmm, breakout sessions dealing with a number of other topics that were all, were excellent also, and gave you the materials and the information and the training that you need to go back, to your areas and do the work day to day and week to week and month to month that's so required at this stage of our history.
And when it comes, I was speaking with James Williams, by the way, Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP. Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP.wordpress.com is the branch's website if you want to find out more. And we're talking about the state NAACP convention, which was this past weekend. And so much in the news, and there's so many significant issues that are being discussed and sort of transpiring even as we speak with regard to civil rights. It's hard to narrow down the focus to a couple of priorities, but what were the priorities at at the convention, what are people talking about the most, or what should people be talking about the most?
Well, certainly one key area of attention and focus was that of voter suppression in the state of North Carolina. As you know, one or probably more than one speaker said, you know, North Carolina is sort of ground zero for voter suppression in the country, really. And the things that we have had to address and the litigation that has emanated from these radical extreme efforts of the North Carolina legislature to lessen, to weaken a democracy and to take us back to an era that should be just in the history books in terms of voting, as particularly for marginalized people and black people and people of color. You know, these efforts are still getting attention, even though there's been a lot of success in the courts. It is not over. And so a lot of attention and work and effort is still going to addressing those issues. Because if there's one thing we know about this legislature, it is that they don't give up. They keep coming back. They keep shape-shifting and trying to come at you in some different form or format. And so you've got to be energized and ready to go at any minute. And I think the NAACP, in conjunction with its partners who have been instrumental in fighting this battle, the ACLU, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, Anita Earls and her outfit, and others. I mean, we've got to be at the ready at all times.
And that just underscores how important it is to remember that justice is a daily struggle that never ends.
That's right. Right? That's right.
And the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, they just celebrated 10 years,
they
right?
They did. Yeah. And so it's been sort of a whirlwind weekend for me because So I was at the the NAACP state convention on Thursday and then Friday also, and then Friday night was the 10-year celebration of the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, and Anita Earls and the work that she has done in forming the Southern Coalition and what they have been able to accomplish in just a decade. I mean, when I started thinking about it, I was almost feeling like they'd been around forever because I'm aware of the breadth of their work. I've had the chance to interact and work with and partner with so many of the talented and passionate people that work at the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. And I've been aware of Anita for some time, even predating her at the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. And I was happy. I was thrilled to be there because Anita is one of these people who has so impacted not just civil rights here in the Triangle or in the state of North Carolina, but really throughout the Southeast, and has impacted what's happening nationally. And she should be one of those household words that you think of when you think about civil rights but she is not. But I hope she will be. And so I was glad to be there for that, and to have a chance to interact not just with her and to let her know how much we appreciate what she's done, but also the ground troops, the people that's out there working in community and with community day in and day out and challenging injustices and calling attention to some of the problems that need to be addressed. And I also had a chance to spend a little time with Bree Newsom, who, of course, I mean, I knew of, but I did not know. I did actually go to school with her parents, Lynn, and we called them Gino, but Clarence Newsom, who were both undergrads at Duke University. And so it was a chance to spend some time with her because she was also one of the presenters there at the Southern Coalition event.
Yeah, and you mentioned, and we're speaking with James Williams, you mentioned Anita Earls and the leadership that she's done, but also the role of, you mentioned the ground troops, the people who are inspired by her or are inspired by something to get out there and do the work. And on a day like today being primary election day in yes. Durham and Wake County and across the state, for those counties that have primaries this time around, how important it is not just to have that, to have those leaders and be in that leadership role, but also yourself to get off the couch and get out there right. and get active and get talking and get volunteering and get to the polls and voting on a day like today.
So true. And that's, you know, sometimes we only see or know of the face and mm-hmm. of the, well, this organization by this particular person. But if that person, if they're not people who are a part of that organization who shares the vision, and you know, the leader has to create this vision and somehow disseminate it to the people who are out there day to day doing the work. And it's a beautiful thing when they work in sync,
yeah.
and when you have the people on the ground that is fulfilling the vision of the visionary leader. And I do, Anita is one of those visionary leaders.
We talk about the, always, whenever we're looking at a movement or we're looking at an organization, we always argue about whether it's top down or bottom up, it's AstroTurf or grassroots, but every successful movement is both, right?
Right.
It's top
that's,
down and it's bottom right. up all at the same time.
That is correct. And that's also one thing I like about where we are growing as a branch of the NAACP in terms of creating or establishing new committees, more outreach in terms of growth of membership, but not just bringing people in so that they can have a card that says NAACP. I'm a member mm-hmm. of the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP, allowing them to see what work we are attempting to do, encouraging them, enticing them to use their talents and skills and passion to help further the work that we are committed to, the goals and missions of the state and national and local NAACP. And we're seeing success in that regard also. And one other thing I want to mention here while we're talking about Anita and the NAACP, Anita Earls is going to be the keynote speaker at our Freedom Fund banquet next year, which I think is like April 28th, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around that
okay.
time frame. Yeah, so I want to put that plug out there to kind of save that date and be available. Yes.
Speaking with James Williams, and James, we've got to wrap up, and I know we're gonna have you back on the air in about a month or so to talk about this with the day coming up a little bit closer, but I know you're sort of instrumental in organizing commemoration of the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, and sort of in conjunction with that, some people locally are making a push to have December 6th officially declared as Abolition Day. So tell us a little bit about that.
So just briefly, and it's true, we're coming, hopefully I'll be able to attend, come back on to talk further about this. So, but
we'll carve out the time, don't worry.
Yeah. In short, December 6th, 1865 is the day that the 13th Amendment about abolishing slavery went into effect. And so obviously it is a critical, a major day, and it is not one that is generally celebrated. It's probably the most important date in history, you know, for African American people, but not just for them, because it was part of what's called the Second Founding, which resulted in the expansion of civil rights and liberties for a number of other people, not just African-American people eventually. So this is an effort to bring more attention to that, to get, you know, our government officials to declare or either declare it a holiday or to issue a proclamation acknowledging the significance of December 6, 1865. Mm-hmm. So that effort is underway in conjunction with an effort to celebrate the bicentennial of the birth of Frederick Douglass. The actual month of his birth is February. The year was 1818, so February 2018 will be the bicentennial of his birth. So we've brought together a group of representatives of, you know, county from local governments, but also different organizations and schools schools and the public libraries to plan appropriate events to commemorate and celebrate the bicentennial of the birth of Frederick Douglass.
We'll hear much more on that as the day draws closer, the event draws closer. James Williams, we've got to let you go, but thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
And again, Chapel Hill Carborough, naacp.wordpress.com is the website, or just Google Chapel Hill NAACP. It'll come right up. And again, chapter of the year at the state convention just awarded.